Buenos dias. Good morning. Are there any announcements this morning?
Carolyn?
Good morning. I'm happy to say that we almost have our complete group going to Jamaica to build the basic school in August. I did have one person who backed out on me, and so I have one spot. So if you were like thinking about it, and if you needed a little nudge, let me nudge you. And see me after worship.
Good morning. I am so excited. Earlier this week, I got some pictures of the basic school under construction. And the pictures are posted outside of Melissa's office, so I'd like you to take a look. I'm also very excited about the dinner we're having this Saturday, the 20th at 5 o'clock. We thank all those who have given us monetary donations to purchase food, who have signed up to bring food, who have purchased tickets, but today is the last day to purchase tickets, so I'll be in the foyer after service. It's going to be a great dinner, so I hope you can come. Thank you.
Before we get started, I'd like to welcome the Guatemalan mission trip up front, please. We just wanted to take this opportunity to thank Tom Ward for giving us this opportunity and making this possible, this trip. So just as a little token of our appreciation. Let's turn our hearts and minds now and listen to the prelude. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. To live content with small means. To be worthy, not respectable, and wealthy, not rich. To listen to stars and birds, to babes and sages, with an open heart. In a word, to let the spiritual, unbidden, and unconscious grow up through the commonplace. This is to be my symphony.
Please join me in the litany prayer of confession. In this place, the voice was silenced. In this place, the words met their end. In this place, existence perished. All the earth rests upon the forsaken bodies, all of the children and women of Rio Negro. Merciful God, we acknowledge the ways in which we are complicit. The sins of the world, when injustice is perpetrated against the innocent and we are silent, when power takes precedence over human rights and we benefit from those systems of power, when we choose to ignore evil because confronting it is too risky or too overwhelming or too inconvenient. And now let us reflect on our sins in a moment of silence. Forgive us, O God. Help us to use our voices in service of justice, of peace, of love, and of mercy. Help us to act when it is easier to remain still. Help us to speak when it is easier to remain silent. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Will the children please come forward? We are going to take a trip. We are going to pretend we are on Dora's Adventure in Guatemala. So I need everybody to stand up. Are we ready? On our first destination, we had to drive 12 hours, so we're going to take a walk. Ready? Just follow me. We have reached our first destination in Santa Maria Ceja. So if you want to come around in a circle, we will show you pictures and talk about what we saw.
During our time at Santa Maria Ceja, we met some wonderful people and helped build a chicken coop for their school. As we were ready to leave, we were able to see a traditional Mayan ceremony where fire and colors were involved. All right. For our next destination, we need to climb a very tall mountain. In order to get to the mountain, we first needed to take a ride in a boat. While we were on the mountain, we met some more wonderful families. The families were able to share their seeds of knowledge with us. We learned about their past and what is happening now. Some of us went down the big mountain and hiked up another mountain. At the top of the other mountain, we went into the cave. We were able to see all of nature's beautiful colors. All right, for our next one, we needed to take a little ride back in the boat. In the boat, we took a ride to the other end of the river. When we got to the river, we had to climb a mountain and walk to our bus. When in the bus, we needed to drive for a few hours on bumpy roads. When we got to our destination, we were overwhelmed with the generosity at the school, as well as with the women of Panakal. We were able to see how Kwajalein saves seeds to give to new people that begin a garden. The seeds keep the community going. In Nueva Esperanza, we worked with the students on a cow manure corral, and we dug a large box which held plastic into the ground. While in Rabinal, we were able to see actual seeds that they had, as well as heard the seeds of knowledge from everyone we met. To get to our last destination, we traveled for 5 hours. In our last destination, we got to Antigua. In Antigua, we were able to sightsee and get more knowledge about what is going on in Antigua. Our final destination was going on a plane for 6 hours to get back to Rochester. When we are here, we were able to share our knowledge with what we learned with you guys. Are we ready to pray? Let's all put our hands together. Dear God, we pray for the people of Guatemala and for the United States. Please hear our prayers. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your parents. Thank you.
This morning's first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. For now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Our second reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed they fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, but they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
It's very difficult to know where to start, but I can say that this was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, both emotionally and physically, in my entire lifetime. Listening to Melissa's sermon last Sunday with the 70 being sent out by Jesus to spread the word made me think about how our mission team was constructed. As she said, the 70 were chosen, and they didn't just volunteer. I believe each one of us was chosen, too, by God. For me, it was something that was tugging at my heart. I had no prior knowledge about Guatemala or the people that lived there. I felt it was something I needed to do, but I wasn't sure why. My naivety now makes me chuckle a little bit and reminds me of the first time I was going to run in the Chase Corporate Challenge. My husband was going to drop me off, so I didn't have to worry about parking. On the way, he said, "Andrea, do you know how many people are going to be running in this race?" I said, no, not really. He said, oh, about 10,000. I said, that was quite a few more than I had figured on. This time he asked me, Andrea, do you know that you're going to a third world country? And I guess I hadn't thought much about that. The first major challenge was hiking to the waterfalls near Randall's village. It's the rainy season there, and so the path was very muddy. Some parts of the trail had dirt that was like clay, so it made it even more slippery. I asked the Lord to help me make it without falling. I called on his name frequently as we hiked. The Bible verse from Psalm 94:18 seemed to apply. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. And it did. The last little descent into where we could swim was a bit challenging, but we made it, and the benefits were a refreshing pond to swim in and a beautiful waterfall to enjoy. I wasn't looking forward to the hike back. Tom started to make a hiking stick, and our diver, Fräulein, using his machete, made most of them for most of us. I was very relieved to have a walking stick, and it made the trip back 10 times easier. The second major challenge that I encountered was climbing down the side of the mountain to get into the boats that we were taking to Rio Negro. Every step of the way, I asked the Lord to make my steps sure so I wouldn't fall down the edge. Then we traveled in the boats down the river and felt stuff under the boat. At this time, it was dark, and we were using flashlights to help us see. It was quite scary. I think I remember telling the person that I was sitting next to that Leviathan might be in the water. After we arrived, we hiked up approximately 350 meters to get to the Welcome Center, where we were going to be staying. It was very steep and very dark, and there were switchbacks. And again, I asked the Lord to make my steps definite and firm so I wouldn't slip and fall. We worked as a team to help each other get up the mountain. We used flashlights to light up the path, but we couldn't see much. In the morning, we walked out on the porch and took in the view that was so spectacular. We couldn't believe what we had hiked up. We were on the top of a mountain with other mountains surrounding us. God does wonderful work. We had to hike back down the 350-meter mountain to get to the boat to go to the place where we were hiking that day. I joked with the girls near me when we had gotten close to the edge, which was really, really steep. I said, this is where we're going to climb up. Are you ready? Well, the joke was on me because it was the place where we were going to climb up. The next major challenge. We were hiking up to the caves where the Mayans hid and lived for 2 years. This was a hard, steep hike, but we had our sticks to help us. Even with the stick, I was calling on the name of the Lord to keep me safe and sure-footed. I said prayers for everyone to make it safely. It seemed as though when I called on his name, the path appeared to not be as steep as it actually was. When we got to the cave, we climbed in and around as our guide explained what it was like for him and his people. It seems unimaginable that people could be so ruthless and cold-hearted. There's no reason why these people had to get massacred. Tom said a prayer, and we had a moment of silence. My heart was so heavy with sadness, and it was very emotional for all of us. The hike down was not as hard as the trip up. The Lord's name was on my mind and lips continually. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. That's from Psalm 138, verse 3. The last of my physical challenges were when we hiked in Robinal to the Mayan ruins. We had to go through a stream that was more like a raging river in the rainy season. Last Sunday, Whit had mentioned in his prayer that God would meet us by the river. That made me think of this adventure. We took off our socks and shoes and hiked our pants up as high as we could, walking slowly through the water and trying not to slip on the stones. You guessed it. I called on the name of the Lord again. The water was right up to my groin, and I thought I was going to get swept away in the current. I was scared. But the Lord had another plan. He made sure I got us safely across. Tom reached out his arm and helped me. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That's from Psalm 136, verse 12. All I needed to do was trust in him. from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, says, "For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone." His word just makes me smile at how relevant it is to us today. We made it up in about an hour and a half, and on the way down, I had an aha moment. God spoke to me as we were coming down the mountain. "This is how I want you to pray to me, all the time, for all of your needs. So I sent you all the way to Guatemala so you would see how much I want you to depend on me. Call my name, and I will make sure that you are safe. Keep me with you in your mind and heart all of the time." I believe that is what God is calling each and every one of us to do, to have a relationship with him. And I believe he wants to use me to send this invitation out to you. I will end with a quote from Dr. Charles Stanley. "If you want to see a difference in your relationship with Christ and in your walk with him, start to praise him today. Continue even when you feel prone to give up. Commit yourself to a life of praise and fellowship with Jesus. Experience the fullness of what God means by joy." And with that, I say thank you as a congregation for making all of this possible.
Little did the 12 of us know what was in store for us when we boarded the plane early on June 26, bound for a journey in a foreign country called Guatemala. And several hours later, I watched with delight as I watched my fellow travelers craning their neck to peer out the little airplane windows to try to catch a glimpse of that beautiful country as we began our descent. But before I begin to tell you some of the impressions of this journey, let me say that we had so many photos that we decided, well, I decided, to just let them run throughout the service so that you could feel like you were on the journey with us from the beginning to the end. And so if something comes up that's a little humorous looking, and you feel like laughing and it's a serious part of the sermon, don't worry about it. That's how it is in Guatemala. There's sadness mixed with humor, and people deal with it and go on. But the one theme that seemed to be prevalent during our visit that recurred time and time again had to do with seeds in our work in the communities, in our daily Bible verses, in the days of the lives of the Mayans, and so on. So I thought I would share some thoughts with that theme in mind. On our first day, we went to the Hotel Spring in Guatemala City, where we had the wonderful opportunity to meet with Padre Luis from Randoche's village of Santa Maria Ceja. Padre Luis is a Spanish missionary priest who came to Guatemala at a very young age, intent on converting the Mayans to Christianity. He told us that he quickly discovered that he had been called by God to actually learn from them. So he formed friendships with the people and listened to their teachings and learned a lot about how to be true to God's word and to be people of grace and love. Padre Luis, who was in his 80s now, told us how he worked with the people to clear the rainforest so that they could build a community where people could come together to become a better person and to make their family stronger and their community stronger. He talked about the days of the violence when the soldiers came to Santa Maria Ceja and started to kill the people and burn their homes. He told us how the people hid in the rainforest or escaped to Mexico, and of their return to the village in 1996. Padre Luis teaches us about the seeds of patience and the seeds of love for the Mayan people. And we heard the story later about Padre Luis that when he dies, he wants them to bury him at Santa Maria Ceja and take two hormigo trees, which are only found in the rainforest of Guatemala, and plant them on his grave. And then when they grew large enough, he wants the people to cut them down and to make the marimbas out of them. The seeds of the hormigo tree will carry his spirit far into the future. The next morning, we left on an 11-hour drive to Santa Maria Ceja, where Randall Shea lives with his family. And this is the location of the school that this church and Batavia Presbyterian Church so generously supports. Again, we arrived under the cover of darkness, just as the sun was setting. And many villagers had turned out to greet and welcome us, but because it was getting dark, most of them had to go home because they had children. But those who did remain gave us a warm welcome. And in the morning, with the light of day, we could see that the people had cut down palm trees and tied them to stakes to line the roadway, somewhat reminiscent of Palm Sunday. And they had colorful crepe paper streamers that were tied between each post. They had gotten pretty much destroyed by the heavy rains that night, but it let us see how much work they had put into our arrival to make us feel welcome. They wanted to be sure that we, from GPC and Batavia Presbyterian Church, knew how much they appreciated our support of their middle school. So in Santa Maria Ceja, we saw the seeds of education and knowledge flourishing. Before we left, we participated in and witnessed a Mayan religious ceremony. The Mayan priest had traveled several hundred miles just to come to the ceremony, to the village, to be with us. And after the genocide in Guatemala, there were very few Mayan priests left to carry on that knowledge of the ancient rituals. Part of the ceremony was taking seeds in the palm of our hands, praying for forgiveness for the wrongs that we may have done to others or to ourselves, and then casting those seeds into the fire, thereby cleansing our souls, and we were forgiven. I think of these as the seeds of forgiveness. On March 13th, 1982, the soldiers came to Rio Negro and gathered the women and children together and marched them up a mountain to a large tree where the women were tortured and murdered, and the children were also killed except for 18 who were taken prisoner that day to the soldiers. They were taken as slaves and served the soldiers and their families for the next few years. One of those was Jesus Tico Osorio, known to many of you, who has been here to speak to us. Others lived in the caves and in the rainforest around the village for years afterwards, afraid to come out. They had nothing but their skills of survival to live on. The men had already been summarily ambushed and executed in cold months the month before. We had come into Rio Negro late due to a breakdown on the bus, and it delayed us, and we came in again under the cover of darkness. We had to drive over a hydroelectric dam, then clamber down a gravelly slope to two boats in the river, where we were met by some men who took us up the river in these boats about 45 minutes. The boats seemed to slice through the river and through the night effortlessly. Upon arriving, we were dropped off at the base of a mountain and had to climb a steep mountain trail to get to the lodge building. Again, we could not see much, for the darkness of the night descended all around us. But in the morning, wow, what a spectacular view we had. And then that night after dinner, we got to talking. As I watched and listened to Cupertino, a tear rolled down his brown face as he recounted for us the events in Rio Negro that fateful day in March. He told us of how his grandmother was too old to climb the mountain and unable to keep up with the others. So the soldiers tied her up, knocked her down and kicked her, and threw her into the ravine to be left for the vultures. Those tears were the fruits of the seeds of pain planted in a little boy of 6 so many years ago. He tells the story so that others may know the story and experience from it, and so we make sure that it will never happen again. The next day, we stood in one of the caves that the people had lived in for years after the massacre, and our tour guides told us of their lives during that time. Before we left the cave, we turned off all our headlamps and turned them to a red light, said a short prayer, and then stood in silence in that soft red light. We could feel the spirits of those who had died and the spirits of the ancient ones. Someone was there with us, and we all felt it, the seeds of an afterlife. Pacush is a community where the army resettled the survivors of Rio Negro and the other 160 villages that they managed to wipe out along the river. It was located there because it was right underneath the view of a military base. Thank God that the military base is now gone and it's been converted into a soccer field. And this is also the home of Quacha Alum, which is Achi for Mother Earth. But the Mayans think of Mother Earth as more than just the soil. They view it as all-encompassing, all the different colors of people, the plants, the universe, the diversity of God's entire creation. Unlike many of us, they accept others as part of their family, not as separate or different from them. Here we learned about organic gardening and medicinal herbs and natural fertilizers to get away from the chemicals that are harmful to the soil and environment and to the people. And the work at Quacha Alum includes a seed bank to preserve the seeds of plants that they are recovering from various locations over time. They are trying to preserve the purity of these seeds and protect them from cross-contamination of less desirable plants. And they also buy back seeds from the people in the villages, so it is a self-sustaining venture for the growers. These are the seeds of the future and of hope. After the students had performed a rather long traditional Mayan dance for us, we entertained all of them by doing the famous GPC Hokey Pokey. They know that from Hungary. Even the Mayan women and children joined in with us, and we all laughed. The seeds of laughter which lifted us above the poverty that surrounded us. In the village of Panacal, where the GPC Guatemala's group has now been working for about 15 years, we found the women there to be healthy and doing well with their families. We had a long meeting with them and Dona Luisa, who is like the mayor of the village. The cow and the pig projects we started are continuing to be very successful. We explained how we were looking to partner with the group, The Garden's Edge, to support scholarships and to do microlending. There was some confusion, we think, on the requirements for the scholarship winners, but we left that with our tour organizer, Sarah Montgomery, to help educate them and work with them. So we are pleased to see that things look like they are moving forward in that community. These are the fruits from the seeds of faith from this very congregation that you helped plant years ago, and the fruits are the women's own hard work and labor to make these plants grow. And Rabinal at Nueve Exprensa School, which Jesus Tico Osorio founded, the children are also doing well, all neatly dressed in their white shirts and dark pants or skirts. They worked with us side by side as we built a biogas collector at the school. It was muddy and wet work from all the rains we kept having every day, but it was great to see these youth working so hard, but also at the same time having fun. Typical kids, the boys teasing the girls and vice versa, splashing each other and getting wet, as well as having a little bit of fun with us gringos and gringas. These students have a hard time and a great distance to get to school each day, but they do it without complaint and with joy that they have such an opportunity. These are the seeds of education and opportunity. At the conclusion of each day, we got together to review the day's adventures and the lessons learned. And one question we would ask is, where did you see the face of God today? And there was no shortage of answers to that question. We saw it in Cupertino's face and words when he told Emerson, our 80-year-old fellow traveler, who was worried about going down the mountain that next morning. He said that he would, quote, treat him as well as if he was his own father, and helping him get down the mountain safely. We saw it in the big brown eyes of all the children everywhere we visited with their endless depth of curiosity. We saw it in the face of those mechanics who dropped everything to help us in Cristobal when our bus developed the fuel line leak. We saw it in the weathered and toughened faces of those beautiful older women in Panacal. In the face and in the words of the Nueve Esperanza school director, Tono, a retired school teacher who came out of retirement to help lead and teach the young Mayan adults at this school, you could see and hear the excitement and compassion he holds for these students. And I see the face of God in every one of you here today. You have supported our fundraisers, Some have given personal donations. Others have worked on the committee or worked on our fundraisers. Some of you have helped provide the school supplies that we carried with us or came to see us off at the horrendous hour of 5 a.m. in the morning. For all this and more, the people we met along the way told us to say muchas gracias to all of you for all you do. And on behalf of the Guatemala partners, I do too. Amen.
Indeed, this is an amazing summer for GPC. We are discovering the power of God's love all over the world, both in the stories that we hear, thank you very much, and the experiences that we have. And next week, that journey continues. with a group going to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium. The triennium happens every 3 years. It is an incredible experience for both adults and youth. There are usually thousands, as many as 7,000 youth and adults gathered together to study and worship and play in God's glory. So I'd like for those of you who are going next week to come forward, and we will commission you. Moses asks God, "What shall I say when people want to know your name?" And God replied, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be." This week, you will join other Presbyterian youth and adults at the Presbyterian Youth Triennium. The theme for the 2013 Presbyterian Youth Triennium is "I Am." Together, you will seek to discover who God is and who God is calling you to be. Jessica, Jennifer, and Tyler, you will attend the Presbyterian Triennium as members of the Presbytery of Genesee Valley delegation. Nancy, you will attend as a Presbyterian Triennium small group leader. All of you will meet Presbyterian brothers and sisters from all over the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Will you endeavor to discover the light of Christ in the new friendships you make? And the rest of you? Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Will you seek to deepen your faith through the study, worship, and fun of the triennium, relying on strength and nourishment from Christ? Better. Congregation, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Will you pray for Christ to be with Jessica, Jennifer, Tyler, and Nancy this week, shepherding them in this sacred experience? Holy God, we pray for Jessica, Jennifer, Tyler, and Nancy. May their experience bless their lives and further equip them for their life of discipleship. May the celebration and laughter shared at the triennium remind them of the joy of life lived in your abundance. May the new friendships they make remind them they are not alone, because there are brothers and sisters in faith wherever their journey may take them. Amen. Have a great time.
Amen. At this time, you are invited to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern and sorrow. If you would raise your hand so an usher can come around with a microphone.
I'm Joanne Vander. I have a sadness and a joy. The second boy that had drowned, the two-year-old boy, is my niece, or Ed's niece's godson. And they're really, it's been a very hard time. And I also like to welcome my sister Kay from Alabama.
Vel Tarushan, JC and I have a joy. Last Sunday, we had the privilege and honor to hear our son Omar, who is in seminary, deliver his first sermon. And as a mother, as a member of Gates Presbyterian Church, I was overwhelmed with joy and proud. And I just want to say again, thank you so much to this church family who has built Omar up to the point that he can stand in front of a large crowd with such emotion, such confidence, and delivered an awesome sermon. And I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for helping him to grow to where he's at. Thank you so much.
Anne-Marie Sim, I'd like prayers for my goddaughter's sister who was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and she's in her early 20s. Thank you.
Maybe I ought to sit down for this one, but lately I've been thinking and I've witnessed that Christianity within the world is under attack. And I've been wanting to say something for so long about this. And I got thinking about it this morning as I was getting ready to come in. And then I look at the litany, I listen to everything else, and I think that this is a sign that I have to say that, you know, we have to get off our duff and protect the people, period. But I mean, or we're going to have nothing. And I can't quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer word for word, but he said, in Germany, as the train goes by taking prisoners to the camp, the choir sang louder so they didn't have to put up with it. I don't want to see us hide our head in a bushel. And think of me what you may. I just had to get it off my chest. Thank you.
Paula Sousa, my daughter Jamie has a very special friend who has 3 brain tumors and she's going for treatment, and I'm just asking for prayers for Courtney.
And friends, there are many prayer requests in your bulletin as well. We join with Beth Molina and her family in the death of her father, David Plummer, this week. We also hold in prayer Everett Hadley, who is now in hospice care, for Jean Sclair, who is at Unity recovering from a fall, and all of those going through many life transitions. Please hold these folks in your prayers. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of all goodness, you have been our refuge from generation to generation, and your will is that peace should shine on all people everywhere. With your Spirit, guide the efforts of humankind to bring peace and justice to the nations of all the earth. Give strength to national leaders, political and religious, those who have been fairly elected, and all those who are dreaming of a world where your justice reigns. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Guatemala. those who continue to rebuild their lives, the lives of their children and their children's children, after atrocities of violence that were committed against the people and the land. Continue to be with and inspire those who come together to sow seeds of your justice and peace, bringing about your kingdom in this world. We give thanks for the mission team from Gates Presbyterian Church and from Batavia Presbyterian Church, who answered your call to be sent into this world to share and receive your love and peace in this place. May we as a congregation open ourselves to hear their stories of their witness in the moments where they felt your presence. Grant us all the strength and courage we need, O God, to be your people in the world today. The outcries of injustice ring in our ears this week as we learned of those killed in a landslide in China, those killed in Iraq following more deadly attacks, and in Egypt as the country struggles for fair and just leadership. And God, as we awoke this morning to the verdict in the tragic Trayvon Martin shooting, we also hear the variety of responses from around this nation. And whether or not we agree with the outcome of the case, God, we acknowledge the ways in which our own fears feed racism, ignorance, indifference, and hypocrisy. Help us to value the image of you created in all your children and find ways to demonstrate your love. Continue to send us, O God, to the many places where we may rejoice in your presence, grieve the pain of suffering, and call upon your infinite grace rather than our own glory. We offer these prayers, both spoken aloud and in the silence of our hearts, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as we joyfully offer back to God many of the blessings which we celebrate, I also invite you to find our song of response, which is the song we sang last week in the hymnal, number 432. We're going to sing it through once after a short introduction by Nathan, but we'll be singing it in Spanish, so be ready. Let us celebrate with our morning offering.
This morning's prayer of thanksgiving is a Mayan prayer. Heat of heaven, heart of earth, give our descendants our succession. As long as the sun shall move and there shall be light, let it dawn, let the day come. Give us many roads, flat roads. May the people have peace, much peace, and may they be happy and give us good life and useful existence. Let there be dawn and let the light come. Amen.
Not what you gather, but what you scatter, that tells what kind of life you have lived. Go in peace.